everyone bring their flip chart up over here. Thank you. So we're just going to do a little activity now to help us look at the next part of the story of Joseph. Pauline started it last week, and if you weren't here, you missed out because it was amazing. Yep, yep. So what we need to do, because we're all going to get involved, is I'm going to split the room down the middle. So if you're on that side, you're with that side, and if you're on that side, you're over there. And what I need is I need somebody from each side who is quite young and fit and sporty and athletic. One volunteer from each side. Yeah, yeah. Come on, Jackie, you can if you want. Or Holly. Come on then, Holly. Well done, Holly. And Jackie, are you going to represent this side? Great. And then I need somebody to keep score. Go on then. Come on then. I'll just put a line down the middle. And what we're going to do, basically, is I've got a list of items here. And we're all playing this game, remember? So I'm going to... No, it's just putting a tally mark on. I'll help you. We'll do it. So basically, I'm going to call out an object. And if you have that object, you need to raise it in the air. So you guys stay in your seats and the runners will run and collect. And the first one back to me will get a point. So for example, if I asked for a pair of sunglasses, if you've got a pair of sunglasses, you would run. And the first person to get back to me would get a point. So does everybody understand? You can take them back now. So yeah, that was just the example. Holly's obviously very keen this morning. So our first object, are you listening? So if you've got it, wave it in the air so our runners can go, is a hair bubble. Anyone got a hair bubble? Hair bubble, hair bubble, hair bubble, hair bubble. Well done. You can take it back. So we'll give this side a point. So we'll just put a tally mark on. That's great. Well done, well done. We'll have no cheating. The next one, are we listening? Is I need a packet of mints. Anyone got any mints in the handbag? If you've got them, wave them in the air. Well done. Another point to this side. It's not going very well, is it, Jackie? Next one, this is a bit more complicated. Yeah. Okay, I need three Bibles. Three Bibles. If you've got a Bible, no throwing Bibles, health and safety. Well done! Woo! Well done. So we'll give this side a point. If you could return the Bibles, that would be really helpful. They might need them. Okay. Well done. That's the most important thing, isn't it? The next one is I need a fancy pen. I don't just want a biro. I want a nice, fancy. Who's got a nice pen? Oh, there, yeah, yeah. That's pretty nice. A point for this side. Yeah, that's nice-ish, but they won. Okay, we ready? Two sets of car keys. Two sets of car keys. Well, well done. Oh. You're going to have to try a bit harder, Holly. It's getting competitive. Okay, this one's a bit tricky. I want a shoelace that's not attached to the shoe. Any volunteers? I want a shoelace that's not attached to your shoe. No, that's not attached. Oh, there's one. There is one here and there is another one there. So this side, get the point. So enjoy threading your shoes back up, eh? Okay. Just got two more things. Two more things, okay. So we're looking pretty even at the moment. Jackie, come back. I need a £5 note. One of the nice new ones, not one of these old ones that's not any good anymore. I want a nice... There we go. Well done. Okay. Are we ready? Last one. If you get this, Holly, we could draw and that'd be really nice and, yeah, really Christian. Okay. I need a credit card. Someone must have a credit card. Well done. Fantastic. And actually, I'm going to keep hold of this, if that's all right for now. I need it. So, yeah. So we'll say that this side won. Well done, everybody. Thank you. Well done. Good teamwork. Thank you. Always biblical, Holly. Well done. So obviously, I've still got hold of this credit card. Now, how would you feel if I decided to keep it? Yeah? I mean, it's contactless, so realistically, I could just go into the shop, couldn't I, and spend all your money? Or I could put the details in online and book myself a holiday. That'd be quite nice. And, you know, you would be quite upset if I decided that I was going to keep it or steal it. And you'll be pleased to know that I didn't ask for a wedding ring or some jewellery or an iPhone or something like that. Because we've all got things in our lives that are important, that are special, that matter to us. Just take a moment. Have you got something, just have a think, that is important or special, that might be your most prized possession? You know, it might be something that is worth some money, or actually, it might be something that isn't really worth much in monetary value, but sentimentally, it's really important and it's really special to you. And just have a think how you would feel if somebody stole it or damaged it or deliberately broke it. And last week, Pauline started talking and telling us about this guy called Joseph. And Joseph was from a big family and he was a dreamer and he actually had a really special possession. Can anyone remember what it was? His coat. Yeah, he had a really special cloak that his father had given to him, and it was so special the rest of his brothers are jealous. So we're just going to watch a really short video clip now to learn what happened to Joseph and his most special possession, and I will return this, I promise.
Sold him to slave traders for 20 pieces of silver. The traders took Joseph to Egypt and made him into a slave. The brothers went home and lied to their father, telling him that Joseph was dead. Well, that's the end of that dream, they thought. But they were wrong. God had a magnificent dream for Joseph's life, and even when it looked like everything had gone wrong, God would use it all.
Great, and I can highly recommend the Jesus Storybook Bible if you've got kids or you haven't got kids. It's a great Bible that really looks at the big picture of the Bible, and I often read it and God really speaks to me through that as well. But one thing the video didn't show was that when Joseph's brothers, they took his cloak off him, which was obviously his most prized possession, they actually threw him into a pit. And while they were talking about whether they were going to kill him or sell him into slavery. And so can you imagine how Joseph's felt losing his most prized possession? And not only that, having his own family ganging up on him, fearing for his life. And then to make matters worse, they actually sold him into slavery. You know, what a crazy family. It's almost unimaginable to us, isn't it? So, and we're going to find out next week what happened to Joseph in Egypt. So what we're going to do now is, I think if there's any kids in, they're going to go out and do a craft activity while we have one more song, and then we'll have a little bit more of a look at the story of Joseph. Is that all right?
Great, thank you. Thank you. And you're going to carry on now.
Great, thank you. So I know we've already kind of started looking at the story of Joseph with the kids, but I don't know about you, I often find that I think I know these Bible stories that I've kind of grown up hearing or have read lots of times, but actually I often find that when I look into them or when I read them again, there's bits I've missed or forgotten, and God's got a habit of speaking to me through the details. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to just read that bit of the story and find out what happened to Joseph next. So we found out last week that Joseph was part of a massive family. He had all these brothers and sisters and hundreds of other people as well. And that he was a bit of a dreamer, and that he had this special court, and he kind of felt like he was the favourite and he was the best. And his family were shepherds, and they had sheep and cattle. And so one day, Joseph goes to find his brothers who are looking after their animals. So we're just going to start in verse 18 and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. So it says this. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. Here comes that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Now, cistern is just a posh word they use in the Bible, which means like a well or a pit, just kind of means a bit of a hole, really. So we'll see what becomes of his dreams. Then Reuben heard this, and he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him. Sorry. Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take them back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and they threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices and balm and myrrh, and they were on their way down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood. And his brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him down to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, the boy isn't there. Where can I turn now? So they got Joseph's robe, and they slaughtered a goat and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornate robe back to their father and said, we found this, examine it and see whether it is your son's robe. He recognized it and said, it is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph must have surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and mourned for his son for many days. All of his sons and daughters came out to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. Nor, he said, I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave. His father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph to Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. I mean, what a roller coaster. From last week, being favourite child with his amazing robe and all these dreams and all this excitement about the future, to then actually fearing that your own family wanted to kill you after they'd kind of stole his most prized possession. And can you imagine how he was feeling at the bottom of that pit? You know, probably he might have thought that he'd been left for dead. And then after that, to being sold into slavery, it's not even imaginable, is it? Now, you know, I bet all that dreaming and boasting that he'd done last week might have got on his brother's nerves a little bit or a lot. And, you know, I do know a thing or two about sibling rivalry. I am actually the eldest of six. I have three brothers and two sisters. And over the years, we have had many fallings out and disagreements and arguments, as you can imagine. Thankfully, I've never been thrown in a pit or sold into slavery. But I do remember one year when we were on holiday in the south of France. And, you know, my parents obviously thought it'd be a nice family activity for us all to go canoeing. So, you know, what could possibly go wrong? Six kids in canoes. Don't think I'd fancy it. But, yeah, so we're in three separate boats, and somehow myself and my sister Grace ended up in a boat together. And basically I was sat at the front and I had my oar, and she was sat behind me and she had hers. And let's just say we weren't the best combination. We both thought we knew exactly what we were doing and the other one was totally wrong. And we just, yeah, basically we ended up shouting and screaming, "You're not listening to me, you're doing it like this." And I'm sat at the front and so I can see what's going on. And she's sat behind me. I'm going, "No, no, no, you have to paddle like this. We're going to crash, we're going to capsize. We're all going to die." And obviously being a little bit, just slightly overdramatic, and I think I was doing a heading just a little bit. So basically, she's sat behind me. I'm screaming and shouting. She gets her oar out of the water, right? And just whacks me on the back of the head from behind with this oar. And let me tell you, it was really heavy and so unexpected. So now I'm screaming even more, right? And so my dad in his boat paddles over and we end up having to swap boats in the middle of the river, which was quite an experience. And let me tell you this, I don't think I've ever been canoeing or ever fancy going canoeing since. So, yeah, I do understand that families can be difficult. But you'll be pleased to know Grace and I do get on fine now and we haven't hit each other with anything recently. So, but going back to our story, I bet all Joseph's bragging and dreaming and having this amazing robe will have really just grated against his brothers and really done the heads. And if you think about it from their perspective, it doesn't seem fair, does it? That, you know, his father singled him out, given him this robe, and then he's had all these dreams and words from God about his future. And I think all his bragging had just got to them and they'd just had enough and they wanted rid of him. But let's look at it from Joseph's perspective. You know, he then had his most prized possession stolen, ripped, damaged, and then he was thrown into the bottom of a pit, having had his own family ganging up on him. And I bet at the bottom of the pit, he was fearing for his life and couldn't imagine what was going to happen next. And then on top of that, then being sold into slavery. I mean, can you imagine how he was feeling on the way to Egypt? Can you imagine? Like, slavery wasn't something that he could escape from or get away from. That was the rest of his life down the drain as far as he was concerned. You know, being a slave wasn't in the plan. That wasn't in the dream, was it? So it looked like everything was going horribly wrong. And without spoiling the story too much, you'll have to come back next week to find out what happens. You know, it doesn't get much better very quickly. But you know, what God had spoken to Joseph in his dreams and his visions was just as much true on that day at the bottom of the pit as it was when God first spoke to him. You know, at probably one of the darkest and lowest points of Joseph's life, what God had said, the promises that God had given him, were just as true than when God had first spoken it. Now, you know, if I was Joseph, I'm sure I'd be having a sulk and a cry and a scream at the bottom of the pit saying, you know, God, what's going on? This wasn't in the plan. This isn't right. This is not what my dreams were about. And, you know, being completely honest, there's been several times when I've had very similar conversations with God saying, God, this is not right? This is not what I expected. This is not what you said. And I bet many other people in the room can relate to that as well. But you know what? God's promises are still true when it doesn't look like it. When it looks like things are going completely wrong, if God has spoken and promised something, it will happen. And if you remember one thing from today, I just want you to remember that you know, that even at our lowest points, God's promises are still true, even when it doesn't look like it. And I bet most people, if you wouldn't really have to think very hard, could think of a low point in your life. Yeah. Without really thinking too much about it, we can all think of a time that we could describe as a really low point in our lives. I can think of many. But one that really sticks in my mind was when our oldest son, Toby, it was becoming really apparent that he had additional needs. And if you don't know, Joel and I moved to Durham to be part of a church planting team 7 years ago. And we felt God tell us to have a baby. And his words were, God said this, that this baby would be an open door into the community. Open door into the community. So as he grew up and developed, and it was becoming really apparent that he was different to his peers. And so, you know, we're planting a church. We want to meet some people. So I was going off to all these baby groups and meeting all these mums, and he would just scream. He just wouldn't cope. He wouldn't cope with people coming to the house. Obviously, he doesn't want to listen either. But he wouldn't cope with people coming to the house. He wouldn't cope with me being in these groups with these people. He wouldn't go anywhere new. And it was really challenging. And I remember several times sitting at home alone and crying to God and saying, God, this wasn't in the plan. You said that this child would be an open door into the community. And it feels like he's anything but. It really, really does. But you know what? God's promise was still true. And although I wasn't actually in a physical pit like Joseph was, those times I would describe as being a really dark and low point. And I felt like I was in a pit. I couldn't see a way out. I couldn't imagine how it was going to get better. And you know, I want to tell you one thing. I didn't really understand what was going on or how God was going to make it better or how I was going to get out of this pit. But I really did know the presence of God with me in those times. And I still do daily. And you know what? God didn't wave a magic wand and make it all better. And it's only 4 or 5 years later now that we're starting to see how much of an open door Toby is, in a very different way than we could have ever imagined or dreamed or planned. But he is a huge open door into the community. And you know, God gives us these promises, these dreams, these visions to hold on to in the dark times. I bet when Joseph was in that pit, he was thinking about his dreams and what God had said. And just like God didn't leave Joseph in that pit, he's with us in our dark times, our low points, when we feel like nobody else understands or nobody else gets it, or it looks like everything is going horrifically wrong. God doesn't forget about us. And I think someone needs to hear that this morning. God doesn't forget about us. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's there. He's with us and he understands. And, you know, we sang it this morning, didn't we? Oh, no, you never let go. Through the highs, through the lows, God, you never let go of me. And that is so, so true. And you know, even being a Christian doesn't mean you escape from hard times in life. Can anybody relate to that? Yeah? It's not a let's whiz through life, it's all going to be hunky-dory and great, you know. We still go through stuff that's really difficult. But just like God was with Joseph at the lower point of his life, God promises to be with us. And I bet so many people in this room could share stories of times they've just known God's with them and he's been right there holding their hand even through some of the most difficult, challenging points of their lives. So if you're going through something today that feels like you're stuck at the bottom of a pit and you don't know how it's going to get any better and it doesn't look like anything's going to change, you know, we're going to pray for you because we want to pray that you would really know the love and the strength and the power of God in that pit and in those times. And he would just give you the strength just to hold your hand and to keep going. Or maybe like Joseph, you've had dreams and visions and promises that seem like a million miles away, that just seem like they're never, ever, ever going to work out. You just can't imagine it. We'd love to pray with you too, that again, you would hold on to those promises, those things that God has spoken, because God doesn't go back on his word. And he said it for a reason. And we'd love to pray for you too. So we're going to have one last song in a minute. So feel free to come if you'd like someone just to stand with you, that you would really meet with Jesus today, because he's there and he wants to walk with us through this stuff. But maybe you don't know this Jesus that we're talking about, and if you don't, we'd love to chat and pray with you too, because just like God was with Joseph, he promises to be with us each and every day, through the good stuff, through the not so good stuff, and through the really bad stuff. And he wants each and every one of us to know that today.